Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, where's David Noble? Where's David Noble at? He's probably at the gym. Did you guys hear the Democrats? That's their new plan now. They're going to go to the gym. They're finally going to go to the gym. It's safe to go to the gym. You know, before they were saying how awful it is if you exercise, how awful it is if you eat healthy, because if you eat healthy and you exercise, you're probably some crazy right-wing Republican. I was watching a little bit of Greg Gutfeld last night, and he had a whole segment on this. Apparently there was an MSNBC article or some other publication, and that's the latest advice coming from the big thinkers behind the Democrat Party is, hey, Democrats, if you want to win elections, go to the gym. And I was laughing because, man, I've run into David Noble at the gym. I've run into John Jackson at the gym. I've run into so many of our great listeners at the gym. It's pretty cool. It's fun running into people there. But David Noble, he's actually going to be with us tomorrow on the show. I almost called today Freedom Friday, because I'm taking off Friday and Monday, too. We got a big graduation weekend, bunch of great family and friends coming to town. So David Noble's going to be in the house filling in for the show tomorrow and Monday. So he's taking a day off. So, yeah, he's probably over at the gym right now as we speak. Although I think he's an afternoon guy, kind of like me. I'm already at work when most people are getting their exercise in, so I got to do it later in the day. But here's Greg Gutfeld last night. And like I say, I can't remember if it was an MSNBC article or what, but they're telling Democrats to go to the gym.
The column reads, quote, "The sweat of your brow is all that stands between you and success. It's an understandable, even healthy impulse. And Democrats would do well to start rebuilding their political muscle, quite literally, by seeking to identify with the guy at the gym. So fitness is acceptable now. A few years ago, the left said exercise was racist. Hell, if that's the case, my glutes make me the grand wizard of the KKK. True, I like to CrossFit. But only Democrats could politicize sit-ups. And now they find gym attendance understandable, even healthy, as if somehow that fact was in question. Next, they're going to tell us that bathing keeps you from getting mean looks in the elevator. And so now the Dems see the gym as worthy, but not as physical self-improvement, but as a political tool to probe these weird buffed creatures at the gym.
Pretty funny from Greg Gutfeld there. Our producer, Caden, had to laugh about this one. He says, you definitely haven't run into me at the gym. Caden, you're not in bad shape, man, though. But, you know, you're only in your young mid-20s, so it'll catch up with you in about 6 years. That's the challenge. It's like once you hit 30, it's like, what in the world happened? What in the world happened? He says, the beer belly would disagree. Caden, you're an umpire. That's not a beer belly. That's just part of the padding. You know, that's part of the outfit. It's part of your standard issued equipment that comes with being an umpire. Plus, you know, you got to have, something hanging out of your cheek there, too. And you got to spit a lot, too, right? It's all standard issue for any umpire, right?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area today, we'll see a slight chance for a shower, a thunder shower this afternoon. High temperatures will stay up around 70 degrees. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures will bottom out in the mid-40s across the Bozeman area to near 50 in Billings. Then with sunshine Friday, highs will stay in the mid-70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Karine Jean-Pierre, who spoke for President Biden in the second half of his term, and was not a terribly effective press secretary in my view, has announced that she is no longer a Democrat, that she's going independent. Now, she's had nothing to say during the entire debate over the cover-up of Biden's decline in mental acuity, so why would KJP be saying this now? Well, it turns out she's going to come out with a book a book called Independent, in which he's going to tell all about what happened in those crucial weeks before the then president decided to drop out. Axios reporter Alex Thompson had asked a publicist in New York about reports that Karine Jean-Pierre was consulting with her, and the publicist denied it. And now Thompson has gone public with this, saying if you lie, you lose the privilege of anonymity. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, what a fun 6 o'clock hour of this show we had. Yeah, we had phone lines open for the 6 o'clock hour. We've got phone lines open right now. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, that's a good reminder for me. I need to go in and check the messages on the app here for a second. Let's see. I'll check those messages because the biggest story I think we were talking about in the 6 o'clock hour was this Democrat representative in Vermont who basically said that the reason why we need illegal aliens in this country is because she says she needs somebody to wipe her ass. That's what Democrats are now saying. You know, first they lied about how who's going to pick the cabbage. And then you had the wealthy, woke, white liberal in Big Sky say, who's going to shovel our snow? Now the Democrats are literally saying, who's going to wipe our asses if we get the illegal aliens out of this country? They are literally talking out of their, well, you know what? When it comes to this whole illegal immigration debate and the Islamic terrorism. But yeah, what a fun 6 o'clock hour of the show. We had Goose and Anaconda call in. We had Thomas and Billings call in. Nancy and Roundup, of course. Andy and Whitefish, I think, even dialed in at one point. And then Jerry and Circle rounded out the 6 o'clock hour. It was fun. I was talking with Jerry and Circle a little offline. He called in and jumped in on this Medicaid expansion discussion. And how cool is it just to think about all the people we get a chance to talk to and we get a chance to hear from? Anaconda, Roundup, Billings. And then we take you to Circle. And Jerry was telling me he just hopped into the truck because he's hauling wheat up to Wolf Point right now. How cool is that? Can't you just see on a beautiful sunny day, can't you just see the view as he's heading north from Circle up to Wolf Point and just the wide open country and the big sky? You can just see it. That's why it's so fun to get all these phone calls from across the state. But one thing Goose and Anaconda talked about is, so the one big beautiful bill that will, you know, will do so much for our country, basically practically everything Donald Trump campaigned on is contained in this one big beautiful bill. But this is how Chuck Schumer is describing the one big beautiful bill. Because, see, Chuck Schumer doesn't think that able-bodied, grown-ass men, now we're going to use that word, I guess, today, since that's the word of the day, apparently, thanks to that Vermont Democrat. He doesn't think that grown men who are able to work should have to work in order to get the free Medicaid expansion money, right? But the rest of you have to go to work to pay for all this stuff. He also thinks that illegal aliens should be getting your taxpayer dollars. And so that is why he is protesting so much this one big beautiful bill.
And we all know one thing. Donald Trump is just lying about the bill. Lying about the bill. Well, here's the We Are All Going to Die Act.
He called it the We Are All Going to Die Act. This guy allowed illegal aliens from over 100 countries all over the world to invade this country, bringing in who knows what. We just had a Chinese communist-linked, college researcher sneak in a dangerous, deadly fungus into this country that could kill off our wheat in America, that could also cause severe harm to people. Oh, no, but extending tax cuts is going to cause us all to die. What a bunch of nut jobs. Back into the phone lines we go. Tom in Bozeman. Tom, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Aaron, one of the reasons why city councils in Missoula and Bozeman are so crazy is because the liberal students, out-of-state students that are allowed to vote in local elections. Non-domiciliary students are told by their professors, oh, all you have to live in Montana for 30 days and then you could vote. And with same-day registration and voting, there's no way to check whether or not they're legal electors. So all of these kids illegally vote. They were having issues like this in Ohio, and they passed some legislation that basically says, right now we've got legislation that says probably more conservative voters, like military personnel, you've got a four-year deployment or assignment, at Malmstrom Air Force Base, you're specifically excluded from voting. But if you've got a four-year educational assignment at University of Montana, you're allowed to vote after you've been here for 30 days. So the legislature passed and the governor signed some reasonable legislation that said students that are non-domiciliaries, that don't have the requisite intent through their actions, activities, to be considered an elector for Montana purposes, are not entitled to vote in local Montana elections. Reasonable, based upon the law in other states. So,
and of course, the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court, the left-wing Montana, mob on the Montana Supreme Court would block that, would block a bill like that, which is why we need to get new Supreme Court justices elected, to like Dan Wilson next year. Yeah, they would block that because just like they benefit from the foreign money influencing Montana's elections and political groups, they also benefit from non-Montana students invading the election cycles every 2 years and predominantly voting left. All right, hold that thought, Tom. We'll come back to you after the break.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
An experience I had as a young economics student at the University of Michigan was my first introduction to the world of public policy debate. I was excited because a fellow student in the audience at a televised talk show was called on by the show host to ask a question, and I was anxious to see how the panelists would respond. But he was cut off. You're from Ann Arbor. We know what you're going to say. The notion that we can discount or ignore arguments and data from sources solely based on their names and affiliations is alive and well in debates today. In some parts of the federal government, that dismissal extends to anyone with expertise, especially economists. A new federal trade commissioner has called for new rules that explicitly disallows the use of economic evidence in making decisions. People who have studied trade policy their entire careers are told that their research on tariffs is wrong, and the Fed doesn't know what it's doing either. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. As conditions outside get hotter, swarms of mosquitoes are set to put a damper on some people's fun in the sun. And while insect experts say there are certain factors that can make you a prime target, there are also strategies you can use to keep yourself from becoming a bug buffet. Eric Benson is an insect specialist with Clemson University. He says one mistake many people make is thinking you only need protection if you're going deep into the woods. He says if you're walking the dog a few times a day or even just outside gardening, treat it like you're walking the Appalachian Trail. Mosquitoes are attracted to the smell of people's body odor. Repellents help mask our scent. You can also wear long-sleeve shirts and pants to minimize exposed skin. There have been studies suggesting that insects prefer people with type O blood, but some researchers say that is debatable. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. Press Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
Consumer demand for beef continues to be a bright spot for cattle producers despite economic pressures. Cattle Facts' Matt McQuaig says strong demand is supporting record prices and rewarding producers out in the countryside.
That's one of the things that we really need to emphasize or recognize, just the difference compared to like previous years, previous cycles, is just how strong, how outstanding that consumer demand is or has been for beef. Obviously, the protein content, the quality, the high levels of upper choice and prime product that we're able to put out there has turned into strong consumer demand for beef. They've rewarded the cattle producers with more dollars in the system. Last month, all fresh retail prices, so beef in the grocery store, came in at $8.50 per pound on a U.S. average, record high levels. And these dollars at that grocery store then create margin in the system that is further divided up amongst beef producers. And so we really have a lot to be thankful for, just in terms or from that consumer standpoint, and how we're able to sustain these high prices.
McQuaig told attendees of last week's Montana Stockers mid-year meeting in Butte that consumers are paying attention to price, but adjusting their budgets within the beef category to more affordable options like burgers and other cheaper cuts, rather than switching to other proteins like pork or chicken. I'm Lane Nordblond.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the story we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour, one of them, was this from the dailycaller.com. Democrat Representative Becca Ballant bluntly says America needs migrants to wipe their butts. I've got the full audio. I played part of what she had to say earlier because Jesse Waters had a great segment that I shared a highlight from. But yeah, she openly is saying that the reason we need illegal aliens is so that the Democrats have somebody to wipe their butts. She actually said it. And then my rant was, oh yeah, first they lied. They claimed who's gonna pick the lettuce. Well, first off, migrant farm workers are here legally, by and large, although once they found out anybody could sneak across the border with no repercussions, then they figured, why follow the legal process? But anyway, and then you had wealthy, woke, white liberals in Big Sky say, who's going to shovel our snow? Tim and Savage said this on the Montana Talks app. Democrats have always craved a slave class. And he said this, who will pick the cotton? I mean, that's basically what Democrats are saying once again. Democrats, the party of slavery, the party of the KKK, the party of open borders. So they have somebody to wipe their butts. Let's go back to Tom and Bozeman. Yeah, part of what is kept... hold on just a sec, Tom. I just wanted to set this up. Part of what has kept Democrats in power in places like Missoula and in Bozeman now, in those university districts, are these out-of-state college students. So, Tom, what do you think? I mean, the Supreme Court would kill it, but that's my point, is we need to change our Montana Supreme Court.
Well, exactly. You know, Ohio recognized this. Ohio State's got 50,000 kids, and, you know, half of them are from out-of-state, and they all vote, you know, liberal. Ohio had same-day registration and voting for 8 years. This is ridiculous. We have no way to check the bona fides of these student electors. It went to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, a federal court, rather than a state court. And the Sixth Circuit, you know, said absolutely in a very well-written opinion, they said same-day registration and voting is crazy. And don't give us this, well, 13% of the state is black, and they don't like to register and vote on there. They don't like to pre-register. It makes it too hard for them. That's the excuse. The lawsuit was brought in Ohio by the Ohio Democratic Party and the ACLU. And when the lawsuit was brought by the Montana Democratic Party and the ACLU, 3% of the voting population is Native American. They used that as an excuse to justify what they did. But whether it's partisan judge elections, so you know, so you don't vote for the person who's spending the most out-of-state dollars, but you vote for the person that thinks like you do. So identifying a judge as a Republican or a Democrat, or doing away with same-day registration and voting, or showing a voter ID to vote, or not allowing non-domiciliary students to vote in local elections. They're here for 4 years. They screw up the whole city, and then they leave town. They move back to Washington, and look at the damage they've done. But all of these common-sense bills are going to be stricken down, most probably by the liberal Supreme Court or liberal judges, because they know that it's only the people, you know, in a conservative state where every other elected official is conservative, they got to hold on to the judiciary because they know only people that are not well-versed, not knowledgeable. A lot of these off elections for city council in June and stuff, or school board, people don't even vote in.
That's why they don't want. Yeah, that's why they don't want school board elections to take place at the same time as the general elections take place. City councils the same way, so that they can maintain their control over school boards, and so they can, especially in you know, take like Billings for example. Yellowstone County has become a huge conservative county. But Billings still has a liberal school board and still has a liberal city council, and a, you know, I hope that the next mayor is much more conservative, right? And so, but yeah, no, you're spot on with all of this. That's why these Supreme Court elections are so important. Right now, the radical left is making it clear they're going to be propping up this far left judge. Her name is Amy Eddy. Ron and Big Fork first told us about her. She's a far-left judge, and she's going to be running against Judge Dan Wilson. And Wilson is one of the sons of Montana who ran along, and you'd see him oftentimes frequently at events alongside now Chief Justice Corey Swanson last year. And so next year we got to get Dan Wilson across the finish line. We've got to restore common sense, because as Tom just laid out here, the liberal mob majority on the Montana Supreme Court is so corrupt. It's such an abuse of power. I told you earlier this week, now they're making decisions where they're openly saying that they want to be able to stuff money, your money, into the pockets of the very environmental groups and left-wing activist groups that are funding their... Or Caden for snagging the full audio from us. Like I said, I played part of this audio in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But this is that Democrat lawmaker from Vermont talking about how they need illegal aliens to wipe their, you know what.
Our economy is completely bound up in immigration, environment, labor, and of course, we have to come to a place in Congress where it is no longer a political issue, but we see it as an existential issue for the country. If we don't have avenues for people to come here legally to work or to build a home here, I'm going to be really crude right now. We're not going to have anybody around to wipe our asses, because we don't have enough people in our country now to fill the jobs that we have right now. But we have to make sure those folks are getting a decent wage and making sure that their rights are protected.
So, again, they want to pay grown, working-age, able-bodied white guys in Missoula to sit on the couch and do nothing, but then simultaneously claim that we don't have enough people to work in America to fill the jobs that are needed in America, so that's why they need illegal aliens to come in to wipe their butts. They just simply want bigger government, more people dependent on government, and to import more voters so that they get more people to vote for the Democrat Party. And they claim that if we don't allow more migrants into the country, that it's an existential threat to this country. Yet they're the ones that are importing the threats to this country, which takes us to Dan Bongino. He was on with Hannity last night. Here's what he had to say about all the threats facing this country right now as a result of these open borders and more.
The premise of your question is 100% accurate. The threat picture now for the United States is dramatic, and I really appreciate we have a president, an attorney general, and FBI director who take those threats seriously. I mean, you name it, Sean. You ask me what's the biggest threat right now. People say, well, what keeps you up at night? Well, the answer is I'd never sleep if I thought about this stuff all the time, but it all keeps me up at night. The drone threat. This is a perilous, acute threat. It's not here tomorrow. It's here today. Everybody saw what happened in Russia. It's only a matter of time if we don't take action, which I promise you, the attorney general and the director and I are taking action on this threat. It is here right now. You've got the threat of AI alignment there. You've got the threat of China infiltration into our systems. It's been publicly reported. You've seen it. When you get the president's daily brief every morning, like the director and I do for this half an hour block, we get it's the first thing we do. You know, Sean, you walk out of there and you're like, somebody go get me a cup of coffee. I mean, this is really, I need to, a coffee relaxes me a little bit because you go out of there, your blood pressure's through the roof. It's so many different things to action. And one last thing, when you combine that with the director and I, our priority, which is reform. Without reform, we're not going to have anything.
All right. Yeah, great segment there with Dan Bongino. And yeah, it was a phone call from Nancy in the 6 o'clock hour that got me thinking. You know what? We need to play that clip from Bongino talking about all the threats facing this country.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
The woke update of the week in honor of our friend David Noble. David Noble will be in the house tomorrow. All 4 hours of the show. Same thing Monday. That's going to be a ton of fun. So he's taking this morning off. So the woke update of the week, I'll have that for you here in just a second. You know it's got to be Missoula, Montana. You know Missoula's got to be the woke update of the week. We had a great phone call from Missoula City Council member Sandra Vasica later in the day yesterday. So I want to share a portion of that with you here. For those of you driving to work or still driving kids to school, some schools are still in for a few more days here. But first, you know, I mentioned how you know, the reason I'm taking off tomorrow and Monday is it'd be fun to take the camper out for a big camping trip. But it's a big graduation weekend, so really excited. Got a ton of friends and family coming to town. Now, I mentioned taking my camper out. Man, it'd be fun to take the camper out, you know, maybe go to some lake somewhere or some river somewhere or just camp out on the open prairie, something like that. But here's the other cool part about having a family camper. When family comes to town, you can let people use your camper. You know, you throw a mattress on the floor, especially when you got a lot of people coming to town, like for graduations. And so, you know, so that's kind of fun, too. It's like, hey, if you guys want to use the camper, here you go. You got the camper out here. It's like having your own little house right next to the house. I'll tell you what, if you don't have a family camper, you got to check out Brett's RV and Marine. They've got the largest selection of RVs and boats in 5 states. That's where I got my camper from. And, you know, whenever I have a question about the camper, I always get a hold of Wes in the parts department. He's just always been helpful. He did my initial walkthrough after we first got our camper in pre-COVID 2020. But then the other fun thing is like, hey, you know, the weather looks like it's going to be great. What if we want to take some of the family out on the lake this weekend? Take the pontoon out. I'll tell you, it's just so fun to be able to get out there and enjoy Montana. That's what campers and boats allow you to do, is really enjoy Montana and the great outdoors. Go to brettsrv.com to check out their inventory and more. Or, hey, you can drop into their locations across the state, Billings, Butte, and Missoula. All right, here we go. Speaking of Missoula, Governor Greg Gianforte said this last night. He tweeted this out yesterday. 9 members of the Missoula City Council made clear their top priority is flying a divisive pride flag over government buildings and schools, all while ignoring the city's housing affordability crisis, raising taxes by 17% because of overspending, and refusing to take firm action to end encampments in the city. The governor wrote, "Missoulians deserve better." And fortunately, 2 council members voted against imposing this divisive far-left agenda on their community. One of those city council members, Sandra Vasica, with us now on the phone lines. Commissioner or council member Vasica, thanks for being with us once again.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, there's so many important issues that the city council should be tackling. But, you know, boy, just wave that flag and forget about, you know, transients defecating in the water fountains in city parks. Forget about the drug needles on the banks of the Clark Fork River. Forget about 20% tax hikes.
Yeah, and we do try to tackle all those things, and I definitely have those at the top of my priority list, which, of course, some tax decreases are at the top of my priority list. Occasionally, we can take up other things, and if we just did want to have a discussion about an official city flag, I think that we should have had a robust public interest in it, because being proud of your city is one thing, but having just one specific pride flag of a very different topic is a completely different thing. And this caught us completely off guard, because the normal process for things to go through to a Monday night meeting is we have a full discussion about it on our Wednesday committee meetings. And this one, we didn't go to committee meetings. We got notice on last Friday afternoon, that this is going to be for a final vote on Monday. So we had the weekend to know about or to find out about it. And then that Monday, so what was it, 3 days instead of a full week? And, I mean, thankfully, the sponsor, Jennifer Savage, did reach out to me Friday evening and let me know, like, hey, this is going to be on the agenda. So at least it didn't catch me completely off guard. But this came out of absolute nowhere. We got a lot of emails over the past week, probably hundreds of emails asking us to adopt an official city flag to circumvent House Bill 819. I didn't think that was going to go anywhere. But then Jennifer Savage took it upon herself to do something about it, and that is her prerogative. But I think that we went about this very quickly, very divisively, and I think that it's opening a can of worms, and it's going to have very consequential consequences that we can't even imagine.
Yeah, I think there's some, like yesterday we had John Jackson with us on the show, the Joker from X, who's very conservative, and he's like, you know what? Go for it, city of Missoula. Keep it up. Keep doing this stuff. And what he's saying, and what a lot of people are saying, is like, you know, the more they push this stuff, the more they overreach, the crazier they get, the more they push people, the more they prompt a response. And so it's interesting because, you know, Boise, Idaho, really what the leftists on the Missoula City Council did was they just copycatted what Boise, Idaho did last month, frankly. And now they're trying so hard to shove this down everybody's throats that it's actually prompting a backlash. It's like this radical transgender agenda went so far, taking away girls' sports opportunities, that now people are pushing back. And Boise, Idaho, for example, they couldn't even get enough people to show up for their Pride Month festivities. They had to cancel the event. But, oh, keep flying your little flag.
Yeah, and I mean, you do what you want to do on your own free time, but taking an official government stance that is supposed to be inclusive of everybody that we represent, every one of my constituents, this definitely does not represent all of our constituents. To be truly inclusive, we need to remain neutral, and we need to uphold our public trust by doing that. And a lot of public comment was saying that the Pride flag isn't political. It's a sign of love and unity. But you have to be so naive to believe that it's not a political symbol. The BLM flag is a political symbol. Even the Thin Blue Line flag is a political symbol. The Don't Tread on Me flag is a political symbol. All these flags are, you look at them, somebody has them hanging up on their house, and you believe that they have certain ideals about that household. You have to be super naive to think that adopting this Pride flag as an official city flag did not create even more divisiveness within our community. Because I can see it in my emails. I can see it on social media, the news. It has opened up so much divisiveness in our community, and it breaks my heart that this happened.
Yeah, anyway, more of our conversation with Sandy Vasica. You can check it out on the Montana Talks podcast or on Spotify. You can find our podcast there, or on the Montana Talks app is a great way to find it as well. Then you get all of our digital content, all the stories that we're putting on our Montana Talks website. I mean, in fact, just right now, if you were to go look at the Montana Talks website, our producer, Caden, he wrote a great piece. What if you turned Billings, Montana, into, you know, there's a lot of racing fans in Billings. You got the great racetrack north of town. But what if Billings, Montana became home to a racing circuit? You know, like how Las Vegas is having, what is it, the F1 races right through this strip in Vegas? What if downtown Billings did their own similar downtown racetrack like that? So he's got a story about that. And then of course, a whole bunch of other stories where that one came from. My computer just decided to freeze up on me. But here's some of the other headlines. Let's see. New Montana Mall projects hint at what's coming next. So not only is the Gallatin Valley Mall, or the former Gallatin Valley Mall, going under a massive overhaul right now, so is the Butte Plaza Mall in Butte. Anyway, Devin Brosnan has a look at what's going on in both Bozeman and Butte. And this is kind of a fun one. This is a cool one. I actually had one of our listeners from Libby, Montana, reached out and mentioned they have an event that actually kicks off today in Libby. Let's see. It runs through Sunday, June 8th. It's a Kootenai Fest. And basically, like, it's a faith festival. It's a creation festival. Tracy Taylor did a write-up on that event for us so that we could share that with our listeners as well. So you can see that at MontanaTalks.com. After we chatted with Sandy Vasica talking about Missoula and their pride flag, it was kind of funny because I got a message from a listener in Helena, who says he listens to the show all the time. He says, I've been listening to your show for a few years now, and I haven't heard you bring on anyone who has an opinion opposite of your opinion. And I'm like, okay, if you've been listening to the show for a few years now, you would have heard Democrat Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula on the show every single week. Oh, but you never bring on. I said, and then on top of that, we have phone lines open where anybody gets to call in. So it's just like, oh, why are some of these people too chicken to call in? Anyway, but he said this. He says he says that he is gay. And he's wondering, anyway, I emailed him back. I said, what in the world does you being gay have to do with this? About flying a political flag over government buildings. As a first off, and then Trump's Treasury Secretary is gay. Rick Grenell is gay. What does you and what you do in your bedroom have to do with losing 20% of your tax income from Missoula?
Ah, smart water. Now in a sleek can.
This feels cool, literally.
Perfect for social gatherings and on the go.
Should I start wearing turtlenecks?
One sip at a time, friend. Smart water cans, for those with a taste for taste. Get yours today.
Fox News commentary.
Wannabe tough guy Tim Walz encourages Democrats to bully Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Download the Kudlow Show podcast every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com. Kudlow covers the latest headlines and business trends with an emphasis on the financial impact facing households and businesses across the country. Listen to interviews with key business newsmakers. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The loving and tolerant left is back at it with their uplifting message. Just kidding. Instead, as the keynote speaker for the Democratic Party State Convention in South Carolina, failed VP candidate and current Minnesota Governor Tim Walz told fellow Democrats to be a little meaner, a little more fierce. He then went on to baselessly call President Trump a bully and encouraged his party to bully him back. He added a swear word in there, too, to keep up his rough and tumble image. In reality, Walz is the furthest thing from intimidating physically and politically, but even so, his message is inappropriate and reckless, because President Trump has had two close attempts on his life. For Walz to continue to label him an existential threat or wannabe dictator, or worse, encourage bullying, is why we're in the political climate we're in. Tim Walz should be ashamed and embarrassed of himself. I'm embarrassed just looking at him. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
With some sunshine across the area today, we'll see a slight chance for a shower or thunder shower this afternoon. High temperatures will stay up around 70 degrees. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, temperatures will bottom out in the mid-40s across the Bozeman area to near 50 in Billings. Then with sunshine Friday, highs will stay in the mid-70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans might get mad if they see motorcycles doing this on the roadways. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a new law addresses what's fair from the air when you're hunting in Montana. I think it's a drone story. And PETA responds following their staged events protesting a barbecue joint in Great Falls and then some downtown Billings restaurants as well. It's actually a pretty good response. You got to
call at 406-25 56-8366. Trackside Auto Body, your satisfaction is always their priority.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's wake up the woke for our woke update of the week here. Yeah, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can see my story. The city of Missoula bows down to their woke small g gods with their pride flag becoming their official flag. But yeah, it's just, have you guys ever noticed that these folks that demand you believe the same things they believe, that demand you fly their flag, have you ever noticed how they preach tolerance, yet they are the most hateful, as some of them, not all of them, of course, are some of the most hateful, intolerant people you come across? You may disagree with their beliefs. You may disagree with their lifestyle. You may not care what their lifestyle is. You may be a you do you, bro, kind of guy. But they will despise you because of your beliefs. You don't despise them on a personal level. You might even consider them a friend. You might even say, hey, but these people, if you don't believe what they believe, they will have so much hatred in their hearts for you because you simply don't believe the same things they believe. It's just, and that to me is really what symbolizes the city of Missoula and their intolerance. And let's just call it what it is. It's bigotry. It's anti-Christian bigotry. It's anti-conservative bigotry. It's anti-Judeo-Christian bigotry. We've already seen the anti-Jewish bigotry on display with their, you know, from the river to the sea protests that some in Missoula have taken part in. They despise people who see the world differently than they see the world. In fact, I mentioned getting that email from a listener in Helena. And I'm like, dude, what does you being gay have to do with any of this stuff, forcing your political beliefs onto everybody else here? And that kind of inspired me to send out a tweet, a post on X, because, you know, the city of Missoula raised their taxes, as the governor pointed out, raised taxes on their people 17%. They didn't just raise taxes 17% on straight Christian white guys. They raise taxes 17%. No matter what you do in your bedroom, no matter what the color of your skin is, they raised your taxes 17%. So I sent out this post on X. I said, straight, gay, or whatever, you're all getting screwed by the city of Missoula on your taxes. And that's the point. It's like, don't you people see how you're getting played for rubes? Oh, Missoula's flying your little rainbow flag. Lottie freaking da. They just reached around and took 17% of your money out of your pocket. My goodness. My goodness. Yesterday in this 7 o'clock hour, we got a great phone call from Kat in Eastern Montana. And she was talking about, you know, these radical transgender medical procedures, etc. And so I meant to get to this much earlier in the hour here, but anyway, after her phone call, I thought, you know what? I'm going to reach out to Benefis Health System. Benefis is the hospital system in Great Falls, Montana. And I sent her a message. I said, hey, I sent a message to the director of marketing and communications. I said, hey, what is the Benefis policy on transgender procedures on kids? And then I shared the audio because thankfully Cat in Eastern Montana posted the audio on X. Sarah Yoder is the director of marketing and communications. She says, Benefis does not have anyone on our medical staff privileged to do gender reassignment surgery on minors, and we have never done this type of surgery on any minor. And so then I wanted to follow up. I said, what do you mean by privileged? And she says, privileged means what they are allowed to do at our hospital based on their credentials, you know, their medical credentials, their licensure, their competency, their qualifications. So she says, basically, they have nobody credentialed to do that at their hospital. Now, the other follow-up question I should have is, do you have a desire to have anybody privileged on your staff credentialed to do this? But they say, yeah, anyway, so there you go.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
An experience I had as a young economics student at the University of Michigan was my first introduction to the world of public policy debate. I was excited because a fellow student in the audience at the televised talk show was called on by the show host to ask a question, and I was anxious to see how the panelists would respond. But he was cut off. You're from Ann Arbor. We know what you're going to say. The notion that we can discount or ignore arguments and data from sources solely based on their names and affiliations is alive and well in debates today. In some parts of the federal government, that dismissal extends to anyone with expertise, especially economists. A new federal trade commissioner has called for new rules that explicitly disallows the use of economic evidence in making decisions. People who have studied trade policy their entire careers are told that the research on tariffs is wrong, and the Fed doesn't know what it's doing either. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.